Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Welcome to the How to Kill an Hour Hour, the half-hour edition brought to you by Southside Medical Center, where your health is their primary care. And now, without further ado, here's your host for the next 30 minutes, the one, the only, the Ed Man.
Oh, yeah. Welcome once again to the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I'm your host, the man with a plan, the Ed Man, here to give you some of the news for the past week. Man, and it is November 6th already. You know, you think time flies, but then when you realize that Joe Biden has only been president for 9 months, you go, man, time really moves slow, doesn't it? It's really all about how you look at things, isn't it? Well, I want to start today off with the latest news. And yesterday, Project Veritas put out a statement. Now, Project Veritas is a group headed up by James O'Keefe, and he has broken so many stories over the years that were so important and that we needed to know. He has put up many videos proving election fraud. You know, they can say all they want that there's no election fraud, but you can go up on his channel and you can look at it. In fact, his latest video, he had somebody go in posing as a non-citizen who was here under a work visa, and they still let him vote. And this was in New Jersey, by the way, where the election was really close. Of course, you know, the Democrat won narrowly by one of those, you know, they counted all the votes late. Even though they said 100% of the vote was in, they found like 40,000 votes. That situation, you know the deal. You know how those Democrats do it. But I shouldn't be too hard on the Democrats. I mean, I'm sure that there are Republican districts where they just shut down the counting for mysterious reasons and sent everybody home and then found a whole bunch of mail-in votes for their candidate that swung the election in their favor, right? Yeah. All right. So anyway, let me stay on Project Veritas. And I'm going to let James O'Keefe explain it in his words. This is from their latest video. And you're going to want to stay tuned because this is actually a very interesting story, not just because of the importance that it has on journalism and the way that we treat reporters in this country, but also what Project Veritas found.
By making this statement, I am putting myself at great risk because on November 4th, Project Veritas came under attack. I woke to the news that apartments and homes of Project Veritas journalists, or former journalists, had been raided by FBI agents. It appears the Southern District of New York now has journalists in their sights for the supposed crime of doing their jobs lawfully and honestly, or at least this journalist. I had to think long and hard before making this statement. It's a decision that only I can make. They don't want me to defend myself and immediately tried to silence me. That's why the cover letter to the grand jury subpoena we received contains this language. Quote, "The government hereby requests that you voluntarily refrain from disclosing the existence of the subpoena to any third party. While you are under no obligation to comply with our request, we are requesting you not to make any disclosure in order to preserve the confidentiality of the investigation and because the disclosure of the existence of this investigation might interfere with and impede the investigation," unquote.
Now, let me break in here and say that to me sounds like a trap, because if they're saying that you can voluntarily, you know, disseminate this information, but if you do, it will interfere with the investigation. I wonder if they're going to get him later for interference of the investigation. That's how they were trying to get some people under the Trump administration, right? They were saying, well, you know, we didn't find you that you did anything wrong, but you were impeding the investigation, and that in itself is a crime. All right, I'm going to let him continue here.
Unquote. But while the Department of Justice requested us to not disclose the existence of the subpoena, something very unusual happened. Within an hour of one of our reporters' homes being secretly raided by the FBI, the New York Times, who we are currently suing for defamation, contacted the Project Veritas reporter to ask for comment. We do not know how the New York Times was aware of the execution of a search warrant at our reporter's home or the subject matter of the search warrant, as a grand jury investigation is secret.
You know how it happened. I mean, either they leaked it or the New York Times is a really super close ally of the government. And I would not be surprised by that at all because of the number of just straight propaganda articles that I see from them every year. I mean, I feel like a lot of times when the government does these raids that the news outlet immediately knows. Heck, when they busted into Roger Stone's house, CNN was actually there. It was CNN, right? Was there with cameras and reporters and actually filmed it. And you heard O'Keefe just now say that they're suing the New York Times for defamation. So the New York Times has had a rivalry with Project Veritas for a little while, and they must be loving this. I also feel like it's unfair that the government asked O'Keefe to not say anything. Meanwhile, they've alerted the New York Times. And I guess I should say allegedly alerted them. But come on. I mean, they were there. They knew immediately within the hour. I think they're working together. All right. Here's O'Keefe again.
The FBI took materials of current former Project Veritas journalists, despite the fact that our legal team previously contacted the Department of Justice and voluntarily conveyed unassailable facts that demonstrate Project Veritas's lack of involvement in criminal activity and or criminal intent. Like any reporter, we regularly deal with the receipt of source information and take steps to verify its authenticity, legality, and newsworthiness.
All right, now what is O'Keefe talking about? Why would they contact them to let them know that they had this material? What material are they talking about? Well, listen to this, guys. Here he is.
Late last year, we were approached by tipsters claiming they had a copy of Ashley Biden's diary. We had never met or heard of the tipsters. The tipsters indicated the diary had been abandoned in a room in which Ms. Biden stayed at the time, and in which the tipsters stayed in temporarily after Ms. Biden departed the room. The tipsters indicated that the diary included explosive allegations against then-candidate Joe Biden. The tipsters indicated that they were negotiating with a different media outlet for the payment of monies for the diary. The tipsters were represented by attorneys who handled the negotiations with Project Veritas. We investigated the claims provided to us, as journalists do. We took steps to corroborate the authenticity of the diary. At the end of the day, we made the ethical decision that because, in part, we could not determine if the diary was real, if the diary, in fact, belonged to Ashley Biden, or if the contents of the diary occurred, we could not publish the diary and any part thereof.
Well, good job to Project Veritas for making that decision, because even though I very much want to see the contents of that diary, you don't want to pull a Dan Radner when you try to get George Bush and then ended up with egg on his face. No, they made the right decision on this. And, you know, they have to be careful here also because, I mean, maybe I'm thinking too many steps ahead, but this could also be they might be trying to force Project Veritas's hand into publishing this diary and then claim that he's publishing bad or false information and then using that as an excuse to get him shut down. Because every time they've been trying to shut Project Veritas down, they really have their ducks in a row. They do such a good job up there. And, you know, they are very litigious there, too. They don't let people get away with publishing false information about them either. So anytime somebody writes something about Project Veritas, if they have phony stuff in the headline or in the body of the article, Project Veritas will go after them and force a retraction. It's hilarious. And it's great. I wish everybody would fight the way that they fight. But they do have to be careful here. And because if they print it, they might use that printing as an excuse to throw James O'Keefe or some of his reporters in jail. But another component of this is, well, I'm going to let James O'Keefe connect the dots for you.
We attempted to return the diary to an attorney representing Ms. Biden, but that attorney refused to authenticate it. Project Veritas gave the diary to law enforcement to ensure it could be returned to its rightful owner. We never published it. Now, Ms. Biden's father's Department of Justice, specifically the United States Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York, appears to be investigating the situation, claiming the diary was stolen. We don't know if it was, but it begs the question, in what world is the alleged theft of a diary investigated by the president's FBI and his Department of Justice a diary?
Bingo. Exactly. So this might be some kind of plot to take out Project Veritas before 2022, or maybe the administration is just that dumb that they would essentially verify the diary by trying to get the diary. You know, I remember when Rudolph Giuliani was talking about Hunter Biden's laptop and how he came into possession of it. And he said that they tried to turn it in to the FBI when the FBI, Giuliani was another one of those people that the FBI just, you know, broke into and raided. I mean, I'm saying broke into, they had a warrant and stuff, but from the perspective of a person who, this is your private office, this is your private home, and then suddenly, you know, everyone's searching you and your possessions, it feels like it's broken into. So I'm just using those words to kind of emphasize the idea of somebody just starts banging on the door and you open up the door and then they just start going through all your stuff. But Giuliani said to the FBI agents, hey, don't you want this stuff, or whoever had come in, hey, don't you want this stuff? Don't you want Hunter? This is the hard drive. This is the hard drive from Hunter Biden's laptop. And they were like, no, we don't want that. And they wouldn't touch it. And they probably didn't want to touch it because then they would have to investigate what was on it. I bring that up because I feel that it helps to illustrate that a lot of these break-ins are not done necessarily to recover material or for a real reason, but they're done for political purposes. And, you know, it's really scary that that's happening in this country where we're supposed to be free from intimidation from the government. You know, we all have two natures, right? It seems like part of us wants to just control and dominate and tell other people what to do. And the other one wants fairness and equalness and for everybody to get along and to make other people happy. And the Constitution was written to prevent that dominating nature from being able to easily, you know, just spread out and conquer and for might to make right. And it must be such a hindrance to some of these psychos who get into office and they're like, damn it, I just want to, you know, lock my enemies up and throw away the key. And, you know, sometimes they get away with it. I mean, look at Julian Assange. My God, he's not even an American. He's not even American, right? And he's rotting away in prison. And, you know, they keep saying he's going to suicide himself. And they look at what they did to McAfee, right? Not that McAfee was a journalist, but he was definitely outspoken. And, I mean, what does it take to be a journalist? Do you have to go to journalism school or get, you know, specific credentials? I mean, anybody who's reporting on what's going on is a journalist in a way, right? And I know that in this country, we make hay about the fact that the press forms the fourth estate? But, you know, really, it's free speech that covers it. Anybody can say what they want to. And they keep trying to claim that you can't because some topics are just too dangerous to discuss. Well, like Ron Paul said, the founding fathers knew that free speech was going to cover very serious, controversial topics and not get hauled off to prison for political reasons. So I'm interested in seeing that diary. And after, you know, after some of the stuff that's in Hunter's laptop, my God, I probably already know a lot of what's in that diary and why they're sending the troops out to get it. Oh, yeah, speaking of arrests, so it looks like more Clinton operatives are getting arrested for their part in the scandal where they pretended that the Russian dossier was real and that Donald Trump was a Russian agent. You know, isn't it funny that the conspiracy is not that Donald Trump was a Russian agent. That's not the conspiracy theory. The conspiracy theory is that people were faking it. But I'm very happy that people are finally going to jail for this, especially this guy, Igor, what's his name, Deschenko? This is from ABC News. Deschenko has been charged with 5 separate counts of making false statements to the FBI in interviews where he discussed how he obtained information that he later provided to Steele for his inclusion in the Steele dossier. I love it. And I'm going to love it even more if it gets all the way up to the Clintons, which you know it's going to. But then, you know, we know people are going to suicide themselves and they're going to mysteriously die or disappear or whatever. And we'll never get around to getting the Clintons. But you can dream, right? I hope they get these guys, and not for political reasons. Really, I really mean that. I hope they get these guys for lying, for doing things that are wrong and things that are bad that nobody should be allowed to do, not just because they helped the Clinton campaign. I don't care about that. What I care about is people have got to pay the price for saying things that they know are untrue to help a political operative, no matter what side they're on. You know, it's tough enough to decide who you want to vote for, but then you're giving them false information to base their decisions on. And look at Dr. Fauci, right? He's claiming that they didn't fund gain-of-function research when they clearly did fund it. They clearly funded it. In fact, now they're even admitting it. I mean, these are people who are doing research that can affect the entire world if it hasn't already. If the COVID outbreak was from a lab, and if it was directly related to this funding that they got, I mean, you can't get much worse than that. It's possible that millions of people have died because they were doing something that they weren't supposed to be doing. The Obama administration determined that it's too dangerous to be fooling around with these viruses. And so they do it anyway, and they do it in secret. And then they say that that it's not COVID that escaped, but they're working on so many things. Any one of these things can have escaped. In fact, it's very occasional that viruses do escape from these labs. And yet you've got Dr. Fauci saying right in front of Congress that they're not doing gain-of-function research. And so you know what they did? You know what they did? They changed the definition of the research that they're doing, and they're so that it's not gain of function. And this was a hilarious exchange. Rand Paul, and once again, has Dr. Fauci up there. Rand Paul was so strong in his argument. He gave up his time. He didn't even use his entire time to spar with Dr. Fauci. He just laid it out there because everybody sees that Dr. Fauci was lying. Everybody knows it. Even the main Fauci stan, Dr. Drew, has said Fauci finally did something that I didn't like. Dr. Drew, the famous doctor who had the show, and he's a big liberal. He appeared on David Rubin, insisted on actually being in person, not even doing it over the over a Zoom call or something. Drew talks about how Dr. Fauci got him into broadcasting, and that Dr. Fauci is the reason why he started doing this, because Fauci said that, you know, you need to educate the populace. And so Dr. Drew started his show. And if you don't know who Dr. Drew is, I'm sorry, but trust me, he's famous. And so after saying all these glowing things about Fauci, Dr. Drew, and even to this, he still says, you'll hear the start of the clip, he says, I still believe we'll see a reversion to the mean. In other words, he thinks that Fauci is actually going to kind of go back to his good judgment days. I'll play the clip. You can hear Drew say it. Here it is.
I thought his overall function has always been like, his judgment has been awesome. And I would see, I assume, I still to this day believe we'll see a reversion to the mean in terms of him looking okay. However, he finally did something that upset me, which was, I don't know if you remember, in front of Congress multiple times, whenever they would ask him about the gain of function or funding.
Yeah,
we've
covered it.
He would just be like, I'm confused. What are you talking about? I have nothing. Like 2 days ago, he goes, well, you know, we did fund change viral function, but we didn't, not this, but we were changing viruses.
Right, that was the word.
Why didn't you tell us? That's what we were. That's how you create vaccine hesitancy. Now it's like, okay, I can't trust you. You knew what we were asking. Answer the damn question. Be open about this. Trust the American people to be able to digest what you're telling them and give them a recommendation and then move on.
So he even lost the very liberal Dr. Drew. And it just shows that Fauci is one of these just, you know, prolific liars and people that you can't trust, and that I do think that he should pay a price for that. I do believe that, because because he's doing something that is wrong, and he knows that it's wrong. And you can, you know, you can call it whatever you want to. You can give it a different name. You can change the definition. But he knew that he shouldn't have been doing what he did. And it's very possible that not only was the entire, you know, really, I mean, it sounds like a comic book thing, right? It sounds like a supervillain plot. You know, the world is infected. But that's what a pandemic is. And, you know, these things have started from labs before. And now, I mean, you shouldn't be able to do that, right? Okay, I'm winding down here. I got to go. Let's, I guess since we're talking about Fauci and COVID and all this stuff, I guess I should announce this piece of news, which I'm sure you've heard. Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary, has COVID. So, you know, she goes out there. Circle back to that, huh? So she's got COVID, even though she's been double vaxxed. And I'm happy not that she's got COVID. I want everybody to be okay. But I'm happy that she was forced to admit it and announce it, even though she's been double vaccinated, so that everybody finally, hopefully, will understand that this is not a what they call virus epidemic of the unvaxxed, so that they understand that you're still going to get COVID even if you're vaccinated. In fact, you know, Colin Powell was double vaccinated and he died. Now they say, well, it's a good thing that he was double vaccinated because otherwise he wouldn't have lived as long as he did. They're just saying that. They don't know that. But what we do know is that he was double vaccinated and still died with COVID. Ed Sheeran also was double. In fact, there was a time where anytime that a celebrity would come out with COVID, I'd be like, you know, all these celebrities I thought were double vaxxed. And so I'd look them up. And then they were vaccinated. They announced when they got vaccinated with glee. And yet they still got COVID. So I just am happy to dispel the myth that you can't get COVID after being vaccinated. Eric Clapton, he came out and he said that he was vaccinated and now he's got all these symptoms. And it wasn't just him. It was like another friend of his. And now they are writing terrible things about him and they're excoriating him. They're saying that he's a racist and that he's doing this for, you know, they're implying that he's doing this for money. And it's just it's amazing how they will just turn on you, just turn on a dime, right? What else have we got to talk about? I guess we should talk about the elections, the Virginia elections, election in particular, because that Republican candidate was expected, Youngkin, he was expected to lose, and he ended up winning. So now everyone's saying, oh, there's a harbinger of 2022. You know, this is foretelling the future here, and I think that hopefully is true. I hope that is correct. I want to point something out here, which is that they should do a forensic audit of the Virginia election, just like they should do one of the 2020 presidential election in these states, because I still think that guy won by more than what they're saying. And New Jersey was so close. And like I said earlier, you know, it was one of those suspicious circumstances that in New Jersey, they found votes and they found mail-in votes, and the mail-in votes always go for the Democrats, but by like so much, and 100% of the vote was reported as being in. And then they found, I think it was like 40,000 votes afterwards. Highly, highly suspect. So they should. The Trump supporters are actually asking for an audit of Virginia, even though they won. So that puts to bed any you know, outcries of hypocrisy. All right, guys, I got to go. I'm the Ed Man. This is a How to Kill an Hour radio show. We'll do it again next week. Have a good one, everybody. See ya.